This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Have you been a victim of a scalper and now you wander lost in the wild in fear that the toys you're hunting for will forever be out of your reach? Well, my fellow toy junkies, fear not. I have the answer. Well, actually, I don't, but these toy store owners do. Find them with me, Bevan, at a toy store near you, the podcast. What up, everyone? This is Bevan, and welcome to A Toy Store Near You, the podcast, a companion podcast to the Amazon Prime show, A Toy Store Near You. Today, I'm talking with Mike from Toys from the Past. They have not one, not two, but now three stores in Nebraska, and they actually get kids to work them, too. I mean, not like child labor law kids. I'm talking about, like, you know, teenagers and early 20s, and that's pretty cool for a vintage toy shop, so let's go chat about it, shall we? There he is.
Hey,
how we doing? Wow. Yep, me and Jared.
Wow. Oh, look, there's an AT-AT.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you guys. What up?
Well, we're at the store here, and we just went through a collection all the way up to the 3 minutes before we're going to be on here. So so we had to scramble, find two chairs, and get seated. So here we go.
Welcome to our TED Talk.
Yeah, been a busy day. So.
We have a cameraman, but he's still blabbing to somebody over there. So
how dare they? We are recording a podcast, sir.
I know these customers. They just we do like, oh, do we lock the door? But then no, then they won't. You know, and they get bummed out. So
yeah, they're like, but we need Star Wars toys.
No, exactly.
So this is the first location, correct?
Yeah, it's the original.
But that is fantastic. Do you guys have any big, huge Star Wars walking droids or machinery or ships in any of the other locations yet? Is that on the docket?
Where's the snow speeder?
Yeah, we have the snow speeder that goes to this over at our new location. And then we are in the process of starting to build it's about a 15, 20 foot long G.I. Joe diorama.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Going to be about 10 feet tall, so big mountain, and yeah, should be interesting.
Excellent. Now help me out with the timeline here, because with your episode, around what time or year or month were you guys recording your episode?
It was split.
Yeah, we started.
Okay. We started in, was it March of 2020?
Wow.
And right, kicked it off.
Yeah, right when you guys said, hey, you guys want to start filming some stuff.
Uh-huh.
We did, and then we had to do more filming.
We filmed in September and October of 2021.
So it was a pretty big span.
Wow, that's, yeah. No, I mean, that seems accurate compared to all the other toy stores in the later seasons where they film and then they were asked to film again.
Yep, they wanted more footage.
You know, and we opened another store in that amount of time. And so we still only had one store when we first filmed. And then by the time we were asked to do more, we had the second store and the third store already done.
Right.
And so that was a lot. Cool. Busy 18 months.
Yep.
And when you guys were filming your episode, did you have somebody shoot? Did you hire a camera crew? Did somebody on your team know how to shoot? Or
you're looking at the camera staff. Crew right here.
Yes.
I filmed the interviews with the individuals. Mike filmed a lot of the B-roll all the way through. We bought a really, really nice GoPro and used it, piled hours of footage on it. So it was a lot of fun. This is my directorial debut, as a matter of fact.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations.
I'm still waiting on my IMDb credit, but
yeah. Shots fired to Nacelle. No. I'm kidding. That's fantastic, though. I'm glad you guys got to you. Because, you know, some of the episodes, there was a lot of iPhone footage at the very beginning because, you know, people had to, you know, figure it out because the pandemic, you know, that thing that happened in 2020.
Yeah. We went out and got a, we used to have a cameraman that lived around here that would work with us a lot. And he shot some also, but we went out and got a, we put a little money into it, a pretty nice camera to do this. So.
Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. That's exciting. Now, how did you guys come to get involved with Nacelle? Did somebody know somebody? Did one of you know Billy Galaxy?
Rich, I think Rich just, I think he just called one day out of the blue and asked if we were interested in being part of it.
Well, do you remember the Toys That Made Us when that started running? That's they right. contacted us about doing a viewing party for this the series because we have such a large following of toy fans in this area. So we did a viewing party for the Toys That Made Us, and that's how we originally got involved with them.
Oh, nice, nice. Which one was your favorite episode?
Oh boy, well I'm a He-Man fan, so
I'm a Star Wars fan.
So it's pretty. And I like wrestling figures, so I don't know, but He-Man most likely. I was big into that, so.
Yeah. I like the Star Wars episode too, because I actually didn't know going into it that the toys had made, what, 3 or 4 times the amount that the movies had made?
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
George Lucas was a pretty smart guy on that one.
Yeah, taking the toy profits.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome. Now, but I have to ask, because I just had a conversation with a fellow buddy of mine. We were comparing the sequel trilogy to the prequel trilogy, and we were a little stumped when it came to how the toy sales did compared to, like, well, it's kind of a little unfair because, you know, in the 90s, there wasn't really smartphones or anything like that. But, like, in terms of, from your point of view, how did the toy sales fare with the prequels and the sequels?
I want to say the prequels, I had a toy store back when the prequels came out, and it was a different toy store than this one, but I mean, it was probably 100 times better back when the prequels came out compared to the just recently. You know, there was people standing in line at midnight, you know, waiting for the release of the episode 1 figures. And that just didn't happen this time.
Makes sense.
That could have been, you know, part of Hasbro not setting it up the way they did back then. But it just didn't feel the same.
That's a solid answer. I mean, and also too, we were also conversing with, like, there's just a different generation of kids now where a lot of them are on tablets and smartphones and stuff. So. Sure. Obviously, maybe the toys are not doing what they could be doing for the kids like they did back in the 90s.
Right. Yeah. A lot of kids nowadays, they just want computers and video games. So when we see a kid come into the store, we definitely try to get them into toys.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? I really enjoyed your episode because I saw that there was a lot of younger kids that were in your stores helping out and volunteering or working on your staff. And that was really cool to see.
Well, they're my kids. They don't have a choice. So, but no, they do like it a lot. They like it a lot. They were pretty hesitant if they wanted to be on TV or anything or about it, but they had a blast with it, and they're around the stuff a lot. So they get kind of, I don't know, they probably get kind of jaded too with toys because they see so many all the time. But yeah, we have kids that volunteer. Even my nephew, he'll start volunteering this summer, and they're big into it, but their dad is into it. I'm into it. Mike's into it, you know, and so it's a pretty fun deal having everybody around. So we had a lot of fun doing it.
Oh, the bonding. I think this was the first episode I watched where Hot Wheels was featured. In an episode. That was pretty cool.
That's really surprising because it's one of the oldest long lasting toy lines that that's around. And you know, I noticed that in a lot of the other episodes, you just don't see very many at all. So even in looking around other people's stores, you just don't see very many hanging.
No, I mean, I've seen plenty of G.I. Joes. I've seen plenty of, like, random toys from the 80s. I've seen plenty of He-Man. I've seen plenty of Star Wars, like the original OG guys. And that's another reason why I was asking you guys, like, do you even carry prequel or sequel toys in your store?
We do.
We carry absolutely. I mean, you could.
there's shelves of it right there.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's it's definitely, it's still part of, a big part of our sales is the newer Star Wars stuff. And, actually the newer Star Wars has started out selling the vintage. So it's, and I think that's just because of the younger kids, you know, it takes a 40 to 60 year old to really want the vintage. And, you know, it can be anywhere from five to 15 or 20, you know, and
a lot of the Black Series collectors are 20 to 25 years old, right? 30 years old.
Yeah. So.
Now the Black Series, that's limited in terms of like who they do figurines for. Do they have like some sort of standard of like who they will like a Cantina monster like versus like, you know, the Mandalorian or Baby Grogu?
Yeah, they're trying to stay on top. I mean, they've been releasing like the Mandalorian stuff is pretty good right now. And they've been trying to do pretty good releasing it. But like we just the job that came out 6 years ago at San Diego Comic-Con, and we literally just got the Bib Fortuna figure was yesterday. Just released, and we just got him yesterday. So 6 years later, you can actually complete your playset, you know, your Jabba playset with him. So.
8 years, 2014 to 2022.
Was it 8 years?
Yeah, eight years. So yeah, it took a while to complete. You gotta keep people engaged.
Yeah.
What is time? I still think 2019 was only a year ago.
Oh, I know. We missed something along the way.
We missed something. Absolutely. You know, what's also interesting too, you guys also have a staff member that specializes in Pokemon cards and stuff like that. So you have cards in your toy store as well.
Yeah, Pokemon Joe.
Shout out to Pokemon Joe. Yeah.
Shout out to Pokemon Joe.
Yeah, he's
Yep.
Not sure where he's at today, but yeah, he's kind of our Pokemon expert. And anytime somebody brings him into one of the stores, we just tell him to make an appointment with Joe and they take it over to the store that he's working at. And that works out for us. And a lot of young kids are still into Pokemon. Me myself, I'm old. I don't get it, but it sells.
It does.
It's a collectible thing. You got to catch them all. You got to collect them all, you know, kind of thing.
Exactly.
You can battle with, I don't know. I was a little too old for Pokemon. My little brother loved Pokemon. I think I was only into maybe Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon for like a hot second. And then and then that's the extent of my anime.
Yeah, I was definitely too old for all that kind of stuff. So my toys kind of ended in about 86, 87. So.
Jeez.
I know anything after that, you know, I've learned a little bit, but I know Turtles, Dragon Ball Z. I admit I don't know hardly anything about, but
we got a guy.
That's why we got a guy for Dragon Ball Z. We got a guy for Turtles, and that definitely helps.
What about a guy for Power Rangers?
Kind of the same Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, same guy.
His brother helps us out too on Power Rangers.
He's here today. It's funny to say that.
He's over there playing with Dragon Ball Z right now.
Yo, what up?
<It's> gone.
You know, just chilling with the guys over here talking toys and Power Rangers. You know, it's funny though. I'm from the OG Power Rangers and they just never stop. So they keep having different kinds of Power Rangers. And I think I tapped out around Power Rangers Zeo, or I think I also vaguely watched Dino Thunder, but like there's just so many lines of Power Rangers that it's very confusing.
Yeah,
very.
I agree.
Mike and I don't. We don't. I don't know. I don't know Power Rangers very well.
No,
I'll be honest.
It's totally fine. But you guys know Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so you're fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, my brother collected Turtles. I was a little bit older than him, so I was He-Man and G.I. Joe and stuff like that. Nintendo. My brother was Turtles.
Yes, so. Nintendo. Now, do you guys sell any vintage cartridges, games, anything like that?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Really? I didn't see it in the video, so I was curious.
Yeah. We have it at our 70th and Van Dorn location. We feature a whole back section of vintage systems. We usually only go, we try to stay as much cartridge as possible because a lot of the disc era, there's so much of it, and it's the value is just not there as much as the cartridge era. But
yeah,
every system you could imagine. And I mean, we sold a Virtual Boy.
Yep.
You know, so.
And bought an Atari yesterday with 25
yesterday.
Original games in their boxes.
Right. So, wow, yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, no, my brother's a gamer, so he was one of the people that had like the Sega Genesis, the Super Nintendo, the Dreamcast, Sega Dream or something.
And Sega Dream.
Yep, there we go. See?
Great system, but people started pirating all their games and they didn't have any security on them, and you could get them all for free and they had to close out. But I love the Dreamcast.
Yep, there we go. Aging ourselves here. Yeah, it's funny because when you guys talk about vintage, I always ask every toy store, I was like, what do you consider vintage? Because the 90s are like, what, 30 years ago at this point?
Yeah, I think so.
I still say anything 80s and older is vintage. Anything 90s is just...
We still say new for some reason at the 90s.
To me, it's collectible new, so I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that's about interesting.
Lower.
Yep.
So that's where we go vintage.
All right.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, no, that's very fascinating because I always ask that because the 90s and the early 2000s is like, it's a little muddy of an area because the early 2000s now are also considered 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And those kids, you know, that were playing with those toys back then are almost 30, you know, and they're buying that stuff back up. And so, yeah, definitely going to be collectible and 20 years old. You don't even think of it like that, but it is.
All right.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I also saw that you guys had a staff member on the younger side that's like your Lego guy too.
Yeah.
Lego Max.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been a little bit on hiatus because he runs track.
Lego Max is like the second best distance runner in the state of Nebraska in Class A, which is the biggest class there is. And so he has state track coming up next week. He just got second in the district final and he's going to be running in Omaha next week in the mile and the 2 miles. So
wow,
busy right now, and he's only a sophomore. So for him to be in the biggest school in the state, you know, at that level at a sophomore, he's very, very good.
Wow, that's
very
great.
Busy.
Yeah, he's worked his way up from being a volunteer to this summer. He's actually going to be an actual employee. Yep. So yeah, he's old enough.
Yeah, he's old enough now, and he's a speed Lego builder, and he's pretty amazing at it.
Yep. So.
That is great. I love, but again, I really enjoyed seeing younger kids in your episode that are like wanting to be there to like work the Pokemon cards, work the Legos, help with figurines. That's really cool. That's encouraging that they're not always on their phones.
Right.
Well, Pokemon Joe isn't young. He just really looks young.
He looks young.
Well, what? How old is he?
Oh, what is
25?
25 now, I think. So yeah. I guess. Okay. That's young for us.
Yeah.
25 is young.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But you had your kids that were doing the Hot Wheels, 30,000. Oh God. That's a huge number of Hot Wheels. Well,
and then trying to, after selling about 30,000, trying to find 15,000 more is always tough to keep balls full because man, we don't buy Hot Wheels from like a distributor or anything. We just have to count on the public somehow coming through.
We do get some new ones.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But once in a while, somebody calls and they have 10,000 Hot Wheels to sell you.
Right now, we have a Hot Wheels shortage, I think. A supply,
nationwide, yes.
Supply chain shortage on Hot Wheels. So.
Oh, you mean the supply chain is trickling down to toys? What?
Yeah.
Oh. Big time.
I know.
Except for DC stuff.
Except for DC stuff. Yeah. They apparently send it every single day.
I think their containers came in off the boats because we've been getting hit every day with brand new stuff for DC. So. Which for DC collectors, it's great.
Yeah, it is. They got it all.
That's really cool. I mean, I was going to ask, how's Marvel versus DC doing in your stores?
Marvel still outsells DC, probably 2-1. Easy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably all of those shows, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, I can say that I think Disney did a great service to Star Wars and Marvel. But then again, you know, are they putting out too much? You know, you got to ask that question. So to me, no, because, you know, I enjoy watching it. But when it comes to collectors and all the stuff they're putting out, I mean, eventually they're just going to have so much stuff out there that I have seen it already that people have decided to stop collecting with the price raises and, you know, with just so much stuff coming out, they've either stopped altogether or they've just narrowed it down to just a couple figures, you know, and that.
Their exact fandom, whatever their exact fandom is, they've narrowed down to that.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty, yeah, they're pretty smart. I mean, but I'm curious to see, because I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan, and with the new series coming out, I'm curious to see how the sales are going to do for even the vintage toy line of Lord of the Rings, if you want to call them vintage, since that was early 2000, versus any new product that might be coming out for Lord of the Rings.
Well, it's not going to hurt it, I can tell you that, because Lord of the Rings at one time was dead as far as the figure sales were. I mean, they were down to, you know, under $10 a figure a lot of the time. And we've gotten a really nice couple of collections of Lord of the Rings lately, like big, you know, 50 to 60 figures in there. And
wow.
A lot of them I hadn't seen in a long, long, long time. And so, and it's nice because just like you said, when the series hits, somebody comes in, they buy, you know, people come in and they buy everything you have. And it may have sat there for 2 years, but then the series starts. For instance, the Matrix, they brought out a new Matrix movie. We had Matrix figures forever.
Yeah.
Matrix movie comes out, figures are all gone. Yeah.
Are you guys prepping for Obi-Wan Kenobi sales?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got a fair amount, I think.
Yeah, we do. And everyone's looking forward to that.
Yeah. Just Star Wars in general, I think it's going to help a lot of the sales of the first movie toys. I think people are just going to be... It's going to take people back to Tatooine and...
I guess.
You know, I think it's just going to launch a little bit of a
vintage resurgence.
That's what we're hoping, at least.
Yep.
Do you guys have any of the newer stuff, Obi-Wan stuff? Has that come out? Have they announced that yet?
It's been announced. We've ordered it, but you just never know when it's going to show up.
Probably get it 2 months after the
we'll get it after the show's over. Yeah, that's how it works. Times.
You're like, we'll have it, but 2 months after the show's over, when you don't really want it anymore.
Yeah, that seems to be one of the problems with the new stuff is the show comes out, and you know, by the time the new toys come out, people are kind of over it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help toy stores in general, but it doesn't help the toy industry in general. I think if they could plan it a little bit better, and again, that I guess probably comes down to the supply chain, because 3 years ago, you know, we'd have our new stuff come in and we'd have a street date that we had to wait for to be able to put the stuff out. And, you know, nowadays the box has a street date on it from 6 months ago when we get it. So it's kind of I think that's just got to be the supply chain thing. Yeah. And hopefully that kind of works itself out here pretty soon. So.
Would it also be because they're also trying to keep something secretive too? Because I remember that was the whole problem with Baby Grogu, is that nobody knew that character was going to be a thing. And then he came out and everyone wanted it and there was nothing made.
Right.
Right. And that was probably smart.
Yeah. It they are really secretive. In fact, I think we got a new case of figures yesterday, and I don't remember. Every action figure has a code name. So it doesn't say the action figure's name on the box. It just gives us a code name. So you don't even know who it was.
That way the shippers and the people that, you know, are handling it on another level can't leak the what's coming out.
Right.
That's pretty cool. That's smart, honestly, because somebody would be like, because everyone has a camera now, they'd be like, guys, look what's in this little, look what's coming.
Yep.
Somebody would be that jerk. Somebody would be that jerk. We all know it.
Out there wanting to be the first person to give away the secret.
Well, apparently somebody leaked the ending of it hypothetically, which I've not clicked any of those articles. I was like, nope, I don't want to hear it.
I haven't heard that. So
we have spoiler rules too, and so boy, you'd be in trouble around here if you leaked the ending to the group. That'd be a bad look.
I'm still in the second episode of Moon Knight, so we can't even talk about Moon Knight around here. Everybody's getting mad at me because it's taking me too long to watch it. But
yeah, it's only 6 episodes, I think, my dude.
Yes, yeah. So far, it is epic, though. I will give it that. It is great.
I'm still doing it 8 hours a week, work weeks.
Yeah. No, I get it. You're forgiven. You're running 3 stores. Are you guys going to expand to a 4th store? Is that what's in the horizons for you?
We're actually working on opening a bar right now. So,
what?
Yeah, I know.
A toy bar?
Kind of. Yeah. I guess we could say the name of it.
Yeah. It's called Gotham.
It's called Gotham.
Yes. I love Batman.
It's kind of a New York theme with a little bit of Batman mixed in.
Yep. And it's in the heart of our Haymarket in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is the real,
yeah.
It's the neighborhood, it's the downtown area everybody wants to be in. So there's a lot of bars down there because we're a college town, we're right by the university, but it's a pretty awesome space. It's down below a building. And so you go down a flight of stairs and it had that cave dark appeal to what that's where we got the name Gotham, basically. And so we've been down there painting and chiseling away and doing floors and getting it all ready to go. So,
wow.
And of course, we're going to have action figures in it, though. Yeah.
Yeah. No, of course. Are you going to do themed drinks too? Like, you know,
yep. We will have some.
Yeah.
Yep.
Theme drinks. One is, what is Bane's serum called? I'm blanking.
See, you're giving me ideas right now. See, keep talking.
Yeah, no, Bane's serum. I forget what it's called because I'm blanking and I'm a terrible bat geek right now because we were on Star Wars. Yeah.
Called Jesse?
Oh, what's Venom. Bane? Is it Venom?
Venom, yeah.
I got it. Venom.
We do Venom shots. I mean, does that sound good?
I think we probably could.
Yeah, you could do Venom shots, like bright green shots. They're probably going to be disgusting, but you know, it'll look cool.
It'd be like a Jolly Rancher vodka.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be bright green though, and it literally would be Venom because it'd probably make you sick afterwards. Right. Yeah.
Well, drink anything is going to make you sick. So.
Well, sure, but yeah. Shots are the most dangerous ones to take, especially when you get older. I don't know how I did any of them when I was in my early twenties. I was like, "Woo, shots!" Nope.
Yep, that's for sure.
Somebody asked me for shots now. I'm like, nope. Sorry, what were you saying?
No, I said that's what we have going forward right now. Mike has the two ice cream shops also called Scoops.
They're starting to ramp up.
Wow. It's summer. Those are all vintage themed as well. So the decor in there is all 80s and 80s movie posters and Pac-Man stuff and, you know, just video games and you name it. And so he's got that going too. So that helps with that 90-hour work week. So.
Wow. Then no wonder he hasn't watched Moon Knight yet.
Yeah, that's one of the things. too much to watch and not enough time.
So what are you guys selling mostly of right now? What's the hot ticket?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
Oh, Jesse, what's the hot ticket right now?
It's always Star Wars.
Lego.
Lego is really good.
Lego's
yeah.
hot right now.
Yeah.
What about board games? I hear you guys have to keep replacing and reorganizing your board game collection all the time.
Yeah, board games are.
They're cool right now. I think you'd say they're cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, they're not as popular as they were a year ago, but they really, when we were going through the whole COVID pandemic, everybody wanted board games, and now they're bringing them in and selling them back.
Yeah, that's kind of how it's going. Coming back in.
Do you guys ever turn away an IP?
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. Can I guess which one it is?
Sure.
Is it Beanie Babies?
Okay. That's funny that you say that. Okay. We do not turn those away anymore because we built at our newest location, we have a 10-foot tall gumball machine.
Yep.
And we packed it with Beanie Babies all the way around. So it's just filled with Beanie Babies because we had so many of them. And we're thinking, you know, this is a good way. Maybe they'll sell. And they have been selling. And Beanie Babies have been selling again. How many Beanie Babies did you sell today?
12
Beanie Babies today sold in the store.
Wow.
And so for a while, we were like, oh, geez. Because we get that call. How many times a week do you get the Beanie Babies call?
I had to let somebody down. They called me from Chicago yesterday. And they had all the original Beanie Babies. Oh. And they thought that they were rich.
Yeah.
And I let them down easy. And I told them what to look for on the ones that actually do have value. Like the first 9, you know, that very first came out before anybody even knew about them.
We have one of those.
Yes.
Legs.
I had to let him down gently, and I think I ruined his day a little bit. But yeah. I did explain to him, we do buy them. We just don't pay very much for them. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that you see online about the tag errors and all that kind of stuff is, to me, it's bogus. I just I bit into it once and I tried to list a couple of those with the tag errors, and you know, I got zero people looking at them. And so it just, to me, I just tell people, for the most part, you know, we offer them a set price, and it's not very much, you know, it's pennies, but a lot of people do sell them. So they get tired of looking at them and they're ready to
the kids have been buying them again.
A lot of the stuff that we turn away is just a lot of the newer, you know, people, the action figures that are actually sold to kids. What are those called? The
Imagine X, Fisher Price.
Yeah, Fisher Price, Imagine X, that kind of stuff. I mean, if it's a Star Wars themed one or a Batman themed one, we sometimes buy those, but you get people bringing in baby toys and stuff like that. We just, you know, we have to draw the line somewhere.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, do you guys take Funko Pops?
Yeah,
we do. We do. Yeah,
we got walls of Funko. I don't even see it over there.
Yeah, there's walls of them.
Every location has walls of Funko Pops.
I've noticed those have slowed down a little bit lately, but you know, not too bad. But they have slowed down a little bit.
Yeah. No, I just always ask, because when you label something as a vintage toy store, some people are like, "Nope, I'm not having any of those things called sure. Funko Pops."
Yeah, I know there are a lot of toy collectors that don't really consider them toys, and you know, cards aren't toys either. But you got to put what people want in your stores, and we're big enough that you know we can have a wall of Funko Pops, yeah. And it doesn't take away from all of our vintage that we do have. So
the stores all average about 4,800 square feet, so they're quite large, and so you have a lot of space to fill.
Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
You can have an 18-foot tall locker in your store.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. That's what was his name? Is it Chip that made it?
Yeah. Yep.
Chip Thompson Designs, Omaha, Nebraska.
Ah, that's awesome. No, I'm excited to see what else you guys build next. Are you guys going to put another figurine, like for instance, Gotham? Are you going to make like a bat signal in there, like a little spotlight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got some bat signal lights that, it's going to impress people. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. We got a lot of ideas, people. So that's good. And we know some good painters.
Wow. That's exciting. So I have to ask you guys, do you guys have a conquest toy yourself that you want to personally get for your own collection that you don't have yet?
Well, I was pretty happy getting that Back to the Future Johnny Lightning toy not too long ago, but it's always something. You know, there's always something more that I guess you'd want if you look into it. You know,
yeah.
I'd like to get the Hot Toys DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Okay.
And I have never seen anyone come in the doors at any of our stores. So that would be me, I guess.
Yeah, I had my Quest toy a few years ago, and I actually sold it to a collector that really wanted it. And that was the Mego Greatest American Hero Volkswagen Bug. And it, I know people laugh at me when I say that's my grail, but they're so hard to find. And I loved that show when I was a kid. So,
yeah, no, I loved Back to the Future. That was my whole fandom when I was young, was time travel, Marty McFly.
Yep.
So the fact that they started selling toys was just a bonus.
Yeah, that's, you know, hey, no judgment here. Whatever you want, I hope you both get it eventually down the line.
Thanks.
Can you also add, one of your colleagues also said that they do a toy league? I don't think I've heard that before. What is a toy league?
Oh, that's where, well, our toy league was just a group of collectors. And this was pre-COVID when we used to get together all the time. Nebraska Toy League was just a group of collectors that came to basically do a big show and tell, you know, every week, you know, Tuesday nights. And so, it was just fandom. It was groups of, you know, fans from Lincoln and Omaha, and they'd come together and we'd do food and we'd basically discuss toys and what's coming out. And it was a big show and tell. Everybody got to bring something they want to talk about that week. And Can we just call it Nebraska Toy League? I don't know where we came up with the name.
We've talked about starting it back up again. I've had a couple of the guys reach out and say, hey, are we going to start back up? And I think we're getting close to starting back up.
Sure.
Yeah.
We were feeding them free food. So I think that's
It was free pizza.
Yeah. So they want that.
they want the free food.
Yeah. So Toy League was just a bonus, but the food was where it was at.
I would never turn down free food. That's awesome. I also want to ask, with COVID happening and stuff, did your digital storefront change at all, or did you always have a strong digital storefront?
Well, it's funny that you say that. We just launched our actual e-commerce website.
They got revamped.
Yeah, we revamped
about a month ago. Yeah.
We revamped it a month ago. But we had to go to digital. So we sold on Facebook Live. We did toy auctions on fans or on Facebook sites. We did, we eBayed more. I mean, we did everything you possibly do. The doors were locked.
Right. Yeah. The guys that were normally running the counter were sitting and listing on eBay or listing on Facebook.
So we did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I'm getting tired, but.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, I'm going to hold him for a second. Mike's arm's burning up.
Oh, no, don't do that. Well, it's okay. We're going to wrap up soon anyway, but I wanted to also kind of ask, where are you guys the most active on social media? Like, what platform and how can people find you?
Well, since we're old, it's mostly Facebook. Still, Toys from the Past. What is the actual page, though? I mean, Toys from the Past Lincoln.
Toys from the Past Stores.
On Facebook. Yeah. We have Instagram, we have a website. You want to give them out the website? You can.
Toysfromthepastlincoln.com.
That's our full service website. So that, but people contact us on Facebook all the time. We post everything that comes into the stores that's new. We post it on Facebook that particular day, tell them which locations it'll be available out at, and they, go out and get it. So we use Facebook quite a bit, I would say.
Nice. That's cool. Well, you just get those youngins to just start a TikTok for you, and then you'll be all set.
We have one he ends up TikToking himself more than he does the store, we do have a youngin that does the TikTok, and he's very good at it, but he just doesn't do it enough for the store yet. He ends up doing music collaborations or something like that. So
just promise him a free pizza.
That's the kid with the long hair, if you watch the show.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, just say you'll feed him free pizza.
Free pizza. He works for action figures too.
He does.
So that's
there you
nice.
Go. You could barter another action figure if it's like, listen, if you do 10 TikToks a week.
Yep. 10 figures.
10 figures.
Wow. Might do that.
That's a good idea.
Might do that actually.
You're welcome, guys. I'm only here for the good ideas only. Not for any of the bad ideas.
That's right.
Well, guys, this has been lovely to chat with you both. Do you guys have your own social medias that people should follow you on, or is it just Toys from the Past Facebook page?
Pretty much Toys from the Past. You can find us there. Our own social medias are probably pretty boring.
Yeah.
All right.
I post on my own, I can tell you that.
That's so funny. All right, well, guys, it's been so lovely to talk with you guys. Good luck on the bar. I want pictures of that Gotham bar. I'm so excited for that.
Definitely.
We'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it.
And guys, I'm Bevan. Thank you so much for watching and listening to A Toy Store Near You, the podcast. And not watching, because nobody's going to watch this because it's only audio. I've denied everyone that.
I look way better on audio, so I appreciate that.
Take care, guys. Mint on a card and loose complete prototypes that are really unique. Great Garlou and me go to this and more at a toy store near you. Subscribe to us too. And like and comment. Yeah.